Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 103, A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Praise the Lord, brothers and Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Thank you for joining us today. If you called in at 646-668-2636, we thank you for calling in, taking time out to listen to us live. You also, if you go to Issue Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, we'll post it there. You can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the archive of all our past episodes for the last couple of years. We've been on, we're coming up on the seventh year now. And we just continue to speak into the lives of men, take time out to encourage us in our walk, that we might encourage one another. We might challenge one another. We might hold each other accountable. We might support each other as we grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk tonight. We're going to be talking about church hurt and some of the solutions. We're going to discuss a little bit. We're going to give you some scriptures. I advise you, if you're listening live, or even if you're listening to a rebroadcast, or you got the link on your phone, to get your pencil, piece of paper, or something, write down so we can have some of the scriptures so you can meditate on some of the things that are said today that hopefully would encourage you, strengthen you in your walk, and hopefully we could talk about healing church hurt, because I know a lot of people, they say it, so we're going to talk about what that really means, and again, is the Holy Spirit, is the love of God, is our faith greater than our circumstances? Because, you know, I've known people who've said about not wanting to be part of a church because of things that happened to them, and I mean, that happened to them years ago, but they still use that thing for a reason not to be part of a local congregation. And as we talked about here at different episodes about, you know, Christ died for his church. And as a Christian, we ought to be part of a local congregation, a community of believers. There's no such thing as a long range of Christians. You're just out there, and you're not connected with anyone. That's not biblical. There's no way in Scripture where it talks about that, but it talks about the one another. It's about us being in a community. So we're going to let that sink in a little bit, because that's where I think a lot of people use the term and the terminology of church hurt as a reason why they're not being part of a local ministry. No one's holding them accountable. They don't have a place where they can grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of God and then be used by God. And others can be used by you. us being connected one to another helps everybody, helps us all grow, helps to encourage us, and then we're not out there. Again, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and when you're out there by yourself, you are bait. You are bait for the enemy because there's no one to pull you back, to pull you in. There's no one praying for you. There's no one praying with you. You are not, and then you are not living up. You're not living what Christ has taught us to be. Who are you sharing? Who are you growing with? Who are you encouraging? The things that we go through in our life is all to help grow and strengthen the church and encourage one another. But if you're not part of a consistent, let me say that too, a consistent part of a community, a gathering of believers, part of a church body, and have a shepherd over you, an under-shepherd teaching you, guiding you, directing you, counseling you, you have to check your faith. You have to examine yourself and see if you are of the faith. Amen? So we're going to leave that right there. I'm going to open with prayer. I'm going to talk about a few things, then we're going to jump right into our conversation. And again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad. We see you on the switchboard. You can bring you in onto the conversations. And as we move forward, we're going to jump right in it. Let us pray. Father God, I say thank you right now. I thank you, God, for who you are, God. I thank you for what you've done in my life and the lives of my brothers, oh God. God, I pray right now, Lord God, for all that's going on in the world, in the body of Christ. I pray your Holy Spirit. I pray for wisdom and discernment for every believer. That person who just gave his life to Christ this week, today, or they've been in the church for years. I pray for their wisdom and discernment. I pray that, God, that you would start to stir up your spirit within them, that the church, God, would rise up and be salt and light and be able to minister to the lost and disciple one another. Father God, I say thank you right now for who you are and what you've done in my life. Continue to strengthen us, continue to grow us, continue to move in the lives of men today, that they could be the husbands, the fathers, and sons that you called them to be leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, I want to share one thing. I was reading something recently, so I want to share that real quick for your hearing as you prepare to get started. We're going to talk about saving faith. And what does that look like? What does the Bible say about it? So I want to share something with you. This is from the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's something I've been studying for those who know me, and I've been talking about it for the last year or so. Because, again, in 2024, we're talking about growing in the grace and knowledge of God. That's our theme for this year, that we will start to grow. And no matter where you are right now today, where are you going to be a year from now, 5 years from now? In your faith walk, where are you going to grow that God can then use you and take you to the next level? And I'm not talking about ordinations and being in titles. I'm talking about where are you going to grow in your faith that God would use you, that the seed of the word is falling to good ground, is taking root, and now it's growing, and your faith is increasing, that you can be used by God to disciple, to share the gospel, to serve, all these things that we should be doing as a church and showing love one to another. Amen? And it's for us as men, as husbands and fathers, how we're leading in our wives and how we're leading our children and their spiritual growth and mentoring and discipling them. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to start reading here from, it's Westminster Confession of Faith. I'm looking at chapter number 14. It talks about saving faith. And it says, again, by faith, a Christian believes whatever is revealed in the word to be true, authentic, and authoritative statement of God himself. We have John chapter 4, verse 42, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13, 1 John 5, and 5, excuse me, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Amen? And by faith, the believer also acts according to what particular passage in the word, excuse me. By this faith, the believer also acts according to what particular passage in the word says. By faith, the believer humbly submits to and obeys God's various commands. looking at Romans 16, 26, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. He trembles at God's awesome threats and eagerly embraces his promises about his life and the life to come. But the chief action of saving faith are the accepting, receiving, and resting on Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life in the power of the covenant of grace. John chapter 1, verse 12, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and Acts 15, verse number 11. And I'd say, and I just give you that to be able to, you can go back, get those scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, study those scriptures, and understand what this, what our saving faith is. It's not, well, we'll talk about that later, but our faith is based on, again, we believe in Christ alone for to be justified, sanctified, and eternal life because of the covenant of grace. Amen? So I just want to encourage you with that, in that, and just, and start to think about who you are in Christ and who we are to be in Christ as the church. Amen? As his representatives on earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Deacon Anthony, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir, my brother. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, brother?
I'm blessed, bro. I'm very blessed.
Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about, we're going to talk about church hurt. And we're going to talk about some solutions. So we're going to do some things. We're going to touch on something that we're going to encourage it and stir this up in the brothers, stir this up in conversation. Because as you know, I know a lot of people like to use church hurt for different reasons on why they're not part of fellowships and why they don't commit to a fellowship, why they're not in a church. But I'm not going to say it's not real, but God gives us so many instructions. I think that there's something in it that God's telling us, even though in the midst of this. Because first, let me say this, and then I'm going to come to you, brother. When we talk about church, it's just like, I believe, as human beings, as we're part of a culture, part of a society, part of community, there's always going to be issues one to another. Relationships are not easy. Relationships are hard. But you have to be able to endure some, persevere through some things. And for us in the body of Christ, we also love people through some things. You know, and I think a lot of what we're doing about church hurt, it begins, we have to look in the mirror first and see what's going on how what people, how that human beings, created flesh human beings, sinners in need of grace, just as you were, how they can do things to the point where now you want to reject what the Word of God teaches us about coming together and being part of a community. How do we let an individual who is in need of the grace and love of God, just as you are, and how you let their actions or the things they do drive you away to the point where you don't want to be part of a community? And I've said this, and I'll say it again as we move along, the body of Christ is wide and deep. So for someone to say that they don't like going to church and only be part of a quote unquote, they call it organized religion, that's terminology that's not really, it is funny how you do that. But if you find a Bible believing, Bible teaching church, trust me, you will be able to connect with one another and be able to be engaged and could get connected with people who believe what you believe and are like-minded. Amen. Well, Brother Deacon Anthony, what do you say? Amen. So I'm talking about church. Where do you want to jump in at, Brother? Go ahead.
Well, you know, first thing we have to make sure we understand is that whenever we use the terminology, whenever someone thinks about church hurt, they got to either distinguish is that somebody of the body of Christ that said something that offended you, or was it the scripture that offended you? Okay. So we have to make sure we know who the speaker is or where the hurt came from or who introduced the hurt, in other words. So we have to make sure we understand that, because then our target can't be, well, if I read the scripture, I'm upset with what God says, versus upset with what a preacher or a person of the body of Christ said. Okay? So we have to make that distinction first. What we see is a lot of times, when we think about church hurt, what we see a lot of times is somebody said or did something to offend a person who was just a church goer, who wasn't really of the faith, but they were church goers. And I say that boldly because if we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, then we can reason with that individual or come to that other individual in love first and in peace to try to figure out what was said and what, you know, why am I upset or why am I offended by it? So there's some self-examination that needs to be done first. Then we go to that person, like the scripture would say, to reason with that person, to get, you know, a clear understanding and make peace with it. Versus a church goer already have preconceived conditions or expectations of what the church should be doing. Okay, it's funny how church goers, or what you want to say, people who profess to be saved, know more about what a Christian should be doing versus what, you know, they should be doing. And if they don't see us operating in a certain, you know, expectation, then automatically they'll say, you know, put labels on it. That's why I don't go to church no way, because they're hypocrites. I used to go to this church and they always used to condemn you. They judge you, et cetera, et cetera. But I think what it is that we need to make that distinction between whether it was the scripture or the individual, and then identify whether that person was a church goer or actually a member of the body of Christ, meaning that that person was born again and gave his life to Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that that person has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And even if that person is hurting, whether they are a church goer or not, most of the times those church goers don't actually come to reason with anybody to clear up what was said or what caused the hurt. Most of the time they'll go out of the church and they'll start gossiping on the outside. And that's how we got a lot of different things and, you know, going on with different churches and different opinions and different gossips that's going on between different bodies of Christ and different fellowships. But the thing is that we need to make that distinction first. So what I would do is I would want to start with, let's start with the church goer. Okay. We'll start with that person first, and then we'll start with the church goer being offended by a church member or a member of the body of Christ. Now, I would say how we conduct ourselves as members to make sure that what we're saying is right to the individual who was a church goer, et cetera, we need to make sure that we come from Scripture. And that's one of the things where you can't always depend on your pastor to teach you the Bible, you know, even on your spare time, or what you would say away from the ministry or sanctuary. You need to have that time to commune with God so that you can learn about God and know how to represent Jesus Christ. Okay. That is very important as far as being a member of the body of Christ. And a lot of times we wander around thinking we know what pleases God, but not actually getting into the word to find out what pleases God. And we'll go out thinking that, you know, well, because I'm born again now, I got all the answers and I can do and say, you know, and conduct myself however I want to because Christ died for me. And what we do is we misrepresent what Jesus Christ has came to do. And now we may have driven a person away based on our conduct. Okay. So that's, you know, the first thing we want to deal with is the member first, and to make sure that we live a life and we model a life to please Jesus Christ and to represent him in holiness. Okay. Now, whatever was said to the person or done to the person who was a church goer, okay, our expectation cannot be how they receive it because they're not part of the body of Christ. Okay. Now, we know that based on scripture, and we know that based on how they act once something has been done to them. Okay. because that's a fruit that they're going to bear. So, you know, when they go out and they actually are, you know, after they've been offended or something like that, how they conduct themselves in the street, we shouldn't, as the body, and this is what, you know, I would definitely like to plant a seed in people's life to let them understand, we don't have to defend what the body of Christ is doing unless we do it through scripture, okay? A lot of times when that happens, that church hurt happens, it comes to our defenses flare up, and then we try to, you know, fix the situation with our, what you want to say, Christian dominance or Christian or Christian role or our Christian royalties by being a child of the King. And now what we do is we flex on people, and I say it in that manner because our humility leaves at that point, responding to that
Amen.
Individual. And, you know, now we misrepresented who Jesus Christ was because now the humility that we should be under is gone because we're flaring up as if we're royal in this royalty, I guess you could say, in this inheritance, in this holiness, in this righteousness, and the Holy Spirit being on the inside, us being a child of God and being, you know, knowing what the scriptures say, who we are in Christ. Now we flare up as if we're gonna deal with this ourselves and not allow the Holy Spirit to give us what to say to make peace with the situation and make sure that that person has a clear understanding of what's been said. So I think we should deal with that part first in order to identify or just to speak to those people who may have been hurt in the church and now they have that opinion about, well, you know, I did try to, you know, get some clarity, but, you know, this pastor or this person said something to me, I still didn't like it, and it got out of hand, and, you know, I didn't know what to do at that point. And now they actually don't want to become a part of a fellowship based on their experience there. What do you have to say about that, bro?
All right, bro, man, you touched a lot there. But, you know, it's something that we do have to – I want to say this for those who are listening and those on the line again. You know, a lot of this conflict – I'm glad what you said, because is it the word of God or is it the people and personality? And now you take what that person, what that one individual may have done, and you paint everybody else who confesses to be a believer of Christ, and you take what that one person does and then you tie it to everyone. So again, you're right. Are you just a church goer? Are you looking, or are you, when things happen to you, where were you in your spiritual walk? Were you looking for Christ? Were you looking to be converted, to be renewed, to be born again, to come to the faith? Or are you looking for people? Are you, again, you come to the door looking for expectations on people you don't even know, and wherever your level of faith is, and you put these expectations on it, because I think that's where a lot of it comes from. You know, we put expectations on people, and when they don't meet the expectations, now they're hurt. You know, and a lot of conflict can be due from pride, selfishness. And then other conflicts come because of offensive that we just don't forgive people for making mistakes. So if we come to the body of Christ, or you in the body of Christ, because it could be a lot of things. But it's like when we see people, where's our forgiveness though that people just might not get it all right? Because I think that's what a lot of things happen. People have become with great expectations for the church and the body of Christ and the believers. And then when those expectations are not met, then they have a problem. But we talked about this in another conversation too, because if you're a part of a church and you want people to treat you a way that you're not willing to treat others, that's where you have to look at yourself again. Because you want people to treat you a certain way, but are you treating others that way? Or you want people to do for you, but are you willing to do for the same thing for others that you just want to receive? We talked about this before, that where do we part with the body of Christ? Are we consumers or participants? Are we being discipled, or we just want, we come in for the goodies? Mm-hmm. You know, so
Whoa.
We have to look at ourselves a lot of what's going on. And anyone who says about church hurt, I always, you know, people used to say these, probably I want to say, well, tell me what happened. And then give me the full story. Because, you know, people just want to give you the headlines and the highlights. But then, you know, and like you said, what did you do to try and reconcile? Because we're called to reconciliation. We're called to forgiveness.
That's right.
We're called to love one another. So whatever happened, you know, what was the follow-up? What was the follow-through? You know, and that's where, and you talked about it too. Are you in the Word of God to the point where you understand that these church conflicts and personality clashes is nothing new? It's in the Scripture. Paul is in the letters Paul wrote and Peter wrote about how we deal with one another and the struggles, but yet love. Are we willing to love each other through these things? And I think that's a lot of it. So like I say, the conflicts come sometimes out of pride and selfishness. So we all have to check ourselves, you know, because like you said, if it's not of God, you know, it's about God. It's about his word. So are you upset because the word says
Amen.
Something that you can't, now you can't do what you want to do or do how you fit because someone came to you with the word to correct you. And now you think that's not what the, you mean. You know, you don't accept the word of God as the directions of your life. You don't take the commandments of Jesus Christ. This is how he wants you to live. These are not suggestions. These are not cute little sayings. This is the scripture what God has given us, how he wants his people to act and deal with each other. Because I believe all the answers when it comes to church conflict is the answers are in the word. But if you're not in the word for yourself to get the understanding, to know how to live and how to see other people, then it's easy for you to walk away. Then it's easy for you to come be a murmurer, a complainer, and a gossip. Because that's what happens. But, you know, but again, we talk about church hurt, and a lot of it is, you know, it is about us, every one of us. You know, like I said, it's about me, my brother that's listening, anybody who's in the church. And sometimes it's about you. You have to always be able to look at yourself first and see what Scripture says and then look at how are you living out the Scripture before you go to someone else and see what they're doing wrong. Because, again, we all sinners in need of a Savior. And we all need patience from one another, and we need somebody to love us and to encourage us. But somehow we take the church as different any other organization or situation we're in. The church is easy to say it was them and not you. But we have other things that we put up with. We put up with different and difficult people in other circumstances, but somehow in the church, we don't have that same compassion or patience. And then we call it church hurt, and then we want to give the headline about what they did to me. And I didn't get what I wanted. Amen? So, again, we all have to be able to judge. So when I'm talking about pride and selfishness, again, I want to give you some scriptures to meditate on, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. And then some of the conflicts and offenses, it's really about forgiveness. It's really about because people are going to make mistakes. I've been around saints, and people sometimes just make mistakes. They have bad days just like anything else, or they're going through. You never know. You never know. That's why we've got to show love one to another. But the conflict is really about offenses that are not really forgiven, that you walk around the body of Christ, around other believers, and you don't have patience or forgiveness for a person who just might make a mistake, say something that might keep you, because you might be in a bad mood and somebody didn't even say anything to offend you, but you took offense. And you call that church hurt. So it's about forgiveness, even in the midst of what's going on. Amen? This is Ishi Krishna talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And tonight we're talking about church hurt, and we're looking for some of the solutions. We got time, but in the last half here, we're going to give some suggestions for solutions how we could deal with some of this. The next thing I want to touch on, brother, is some of the other things that causes church. I'm going to get your thoughts on this. We talk about conflicts that come up because of blatant sin amongst the believers and the conflict with leadership the conflict with leadership and the believers. The things that leadership, because, you know, pastors know that I might lose some of them right now, but, you know, sometimes stuff happens and people perceive the things you do, and that brings conflict. Because I've been in some churches and I've heard stories of other churches where, you know, leadership was, you know, they were overbearing. There was a lot of stuff going on with leadership, and that causes people, they think all pastors are like that. All deacons are like that. Mm. You know, all elders are like the place that was there, but that was the cause that culture and that environment wasn't godly. Because once a pastor gets to a place where he doesn't think that he could do anything he wants and it doesn't really matter, you know, that's not a shepherd. Because if we talk about what a shepherd does, the shepherd's job is to lay his life down for the sheep, not to sacrifice the sheep and have lamb chops every night. You know what I'm saying? He's supposed to be taking care of the sheep. He's supposed to be caring for the sheep and taking care of the flock of God. So that's the other thing. So what do you say to that, sir? When you talk about conflict due to blatant sin in the church, when, you know, because the bad news, the gossip travels. So you know there's something going on. And it's just not being talked about. It's not being corrected. We're not holding each other accountable. We're not disciplined, because church discipline, you know, just that's a whole nother discussion. But is there discipline in the church that will resolve these things, that people sit there and watch and hear what's going on? Because everything, and we know the old saying, everything that's done in the dark is going to come to the light. But most times, when stuff happens in the church, it's been going like that. It just got exposed.
That's right.
People think, oh, man, I'm part of this thing, and now look at all this chaos been going on behind the scenes. You see what I'm saying? So that's also, that falls on leadership. That falls on the leaders and not dealing with conflicts. What do you say to that, sir?
You know, one thing about it, right, if the head of a natural body knows the ailments of a natural body and don't go to the doctors to get it fixed, then the body is still out of order. It's not operating the way it should work, where we should restore such a one. So it just like you said, bro, it all starts with the head. Okay? It starts with the head. When your body sends signals to the brain to tell you you're hungry or your right leg is sore or something's wrong, you have a headache, or, you know, your body is actually speaking to your brain waves to tell you that something's wrong. And based on how you deal with it, and, you know, us as men, I use this example a lot, we don't want to go to the doctors to get it fixed. We try to be repairmen ourselves. We try to diagnose the problem. And then that's what the church does a lot of times, especially the head. We cover up, or we don't address it the way that God would have us to address it because of probably our relationship with that person. It may be due to that person being a financial support for the ministry. It may be due to a whole lot of different things, but addressing it the proper way so that God is glorified versus the people of the body is happy. You see? So it has to be a thing where if the head is not doing it correctly, because see, here's the thing. When a member or a person does something in the ministry out of sin, okay, and it's out there, what's done in the dark came to light, et cetera, how do we address it? You know, it's like a thing where, because we, you know, if the way that we address it could hurt some of the leaders, or the way that we address it could hinder some of the members, okay? But the thing is that we have to handle it and we have to deal with it the way that Scripture would have us to deal with it, okay? Now, what we have to do is when we talk about the body of Christ, And if we are born again and we're born of Christ, we have to make sure that everything we do lines up with his word. That's just it. And I think because we're adults and because we are independent and because we hear the grace message and we're under grace now, and then, you know, we got to this point where we're privileged Christians, in other words, to do whatever we want. We say whatever we want and not actually consult with the scripture, which God gave us guidelines to model on how to handle and deal with these things before it becomes a bigger problem. You see? And that's the part where us as leaders, we have a greater responsibility when we see things that happen in the ministry that led up to this point and we didn't address it earlier. Okay? And one of those things is this, and you and I, we talk about this a lot, is building relationships with people. I need to know where you are in faith. I do. If I don't see you coming to Bible study, if I don't see you coming to outreach, if I don't see you being a part of the ministry, and I'm not saying to be there every single day, but I am saying be there when you can, and, you know, to the point where it's like, okay, if you're never there, the question becomes, are you really a part of the body of Christ? Okay? Because you can't say that you're a part of the body of Christ and don't do what Christ would call us to do. You can't have it both ways. God didn't give us an option to do that. He said, if you lukewarm, I will do what? Spew you out of my mouth. Period. We approach things with our own way of dealing with it. And that's when it really gets out of hand. Well, I'm going to deal with this, you know, because this person upset me because they did this thing. Okay, so you were hurt by what the person did through sin, right? But how did you respond to handle it? Now, most of the time, our flesh is going to rise up if it's something serious and something severe. Our flesh is going to rise up. And if our flesh rise up, the word says you can be angry, but sin not. Okay? So God is telling you, yeah, you can be angry, but don't sin. Meaning don't go out of my will just because you're angry. Because that's not how God would have you to handle the situation. To make sure that we're doing the things to restore him, or what you want to say, reconcile him back to Jesus Christ. Because, see, we want people to be reconciled back to us, as if we some type of king or we hold some type of position. So as long as you get in good with me after you done did what you did, okay, I'm feel better now. Now I can let you back in the ministry as if this ministry is mine. It's not mine.
Amen.
This is not my ministry. This is not. Look, this, if I don't say that this ministry belongs to Jesus Christ, I've just took him out of the ministry, and now this ministry is going to operate the way I want it to. It has to be good with me. It has to be clear with me, because you have to live up to my expectation versus the expectation that Jesus Christ put in his word. Now, if God said him and his word are one, if Christ is really on the inside of me, why do I disagree with doing it his way? Forget the hurt. You're going to cause chaos in the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's not even a point of hurt anymore. Now you have actually, what they call, fallen away from the faith. See, I don't practice this thing based on pleasing people. I practice this thing on pleasing God. So if I want to please God, I have to do it his way. There is no other way. I can't deal
Amen.
With you the way I deal with my children. You see, sometimes children, man, they drive you to, especially
they drive
boys.
They drive you to prayer and they drive you to the word. But, you know,
come
but,
on, man.
Amen.
Come on.
Good.
But I can't
see,
deal with you.
See, man.
I cannot deal with you on that level as my child. I can't deal with you that way. See, we think because God put us in certain positions, then that's how we can respond to everything based on my position. But God says, who are you if you're in a position, whether you're a deacon or you're an elder or whatever the case may be, you're in that position to represent him. So I need to go to him to make sure that I do it correctly. And I think that's the problem with when church hurt gets to that point, we don't address it the way Christ would have us to do so through his word. He tells you how to do it. And you know something? Here's the funny part, right? As leaders, it tells how much we're actually in the word of God. Because if you can't quote what God would have you to do for that situation, you shouldn't be an under-shepherd or in that leadership position. how are you gonna carry out the law as an officer and you don't know what the law says for yourself? How are you gonna be a police officer and you don't know how to carry out the law as an officer? That means you don't even know what's in the book, because you're not acting in the way that the book would call you to act. So do I think you're ordained by God to do this? Or did somebody put you in this position because you got close to their uncle or something like that? You're a family member. You're not in this position unless it's ordained by Christ, because Christ is going to have the last say. He's going to have the first one and the last one. And every time a situation comes up to me, it needs to come through this word. Then I can't actually worry about whether I hurt you or not. Now you are being hurt by the scripture. What do you have to say about that, bro?
Amen. I mean, no, but bro, that's what I'm saying. Let me say this for folk who deal with church hurt. It's the scripture, the Holy Spirit, is what's going to get you through, what's going to give you direction and guidance and discernment about the issue. Because you're going to have, we're going to have issues. If you're part of any kind of community, family, neighborhood, and as we experience that, there's going to be issues with human beings in this flesh body. Okay? We may not see eye to eye on everything, but the biggest thing I want every brother that's listening here, Issues Christian is talking, to understand the word of God is the final authority, the final arbitration. That's what I was reading out of the Confession of Faith. The word of God is authoritative in our lives. This is how we live. This is how we do what we do. And when these conflicts and issues come, we go to the word to understand how are we supposed to deal with it? Because what the word says about forgiveness, what the word says about us living peacefully with each other, what does the word say about reconciling? Because people leave churches and let me say it like this. Any person who just stopped coming, they leave in the middle of the night from a ministry where they need to go talk to the senior pastor about what's going on. Because they assume the pastor knows these things are going on and allowing it. Sometimes God could use you to expose some stuff so that the man of God, the under-shepherd, can be dealing with it. But people don't do that. They just want, they want to come to a place, mm-hmm. and they want everything to go, to be right. I think it's just because it's a church, I don't care how long it's been there. I don't care if it's been there 6 months. I don't care if it's in the storefront, a cathedral, or they got a whole campus. When you go in there, every church has a leadership, has a structure, and there should be someone you should be able to talk to, an elder or someone, to deal with the thing. If something happens, something is said, or you feel a certain way about something, that you have to get to that place where, okay, you know, I need to discuss this with somebody. I need to bring this up. Don't assume because some one person said or did something. You know, what are you going to be doing to reconcile it, to find out what was on? Because you don't ever know. Again, we have to remember, we're all human beings. You never know what a person's going through. If you catch somebody in a bad day, they may love God. They may even love you. But if you catch them in the midst of a pressure situation or midst of something, they might say something. We have to have that loving kindness and the things that that the word teaches us to be. What kind of believer are we? And when just because we're new there, And just because we're in a place, we have to be prayed up to. We have to, again, this is about our faith walk and how we want to treat others. Because that's the other thing. We're selfish. We want everything our way. So that way we get everything we want, and it's the way I like it. But do we come there because God, because I say this a lot, because God puts people in your life for a reason. You could be in that place for a reason to be able to get that person the help. Because if something happens or something said and you go to leadership, that gives leadership an opportunity to reach out to that person and see what's going on with them. And also, and now if they have that regular stinking nasty attitude, the more people who go to leadership and let them know, you know what I'm saying? If four or five people say the same thing about a person, there's something going on with that person. And you give leadership an opportunity to be able to apply church discipline to a situation, to be able to minister, to get them back lined up with the word of God or what they're supposed to be doing or how they should treat people and serve. Because it's something I learned a long time. You never know what people are going home to. The judgment of a judgment of a person's faith and character is not on Sunday for 2 hours.
Mm.
I just want to say that. So by the time they come there on Sunday, they might have just been there, and then they just don't feel like being, things could be going on. And it don't take much to tip that scale to the other side. But, again, when we're talking about church hurt, why are we in a position, again, this is the only organization or circumstance or interaction that we have such a high standard that now when stuff happens, we don't want to go back to church because of this, that, and the other thing. Now, I want to be clear, too. I want to say this. We're not talking about some criminal activity stuff. That's a whole other realm I'm talking about. I'm talking about these little baby things that happen and why people don't go back to church or whatever. They don't want to be part of a church because some of this stuff happened when you was a kid or something. Church mother smacked you or whatever, or you just told you couldn't do something, or they called you out, and you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things, this church hurt thing. People take the umbrella of church hurt, and they stick a lot of stuff under it.
Yeah.
And then use it like that's a justification. But the word of God says we to gather together. We should be part of a community. The word of God says we should love one another. The word of God tells us a lot of things that the body of Christ helps us grow in our faith. It gives us opportunity to show love and care for someone and to minister to the lost and to the church, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to pray with people.
Amen.
You know? So if you're not part of that, then are you fulfilling Jesus Christ died for? He died for his church. If you're not part of that church, then Christ didn't die for you. Because he saved you. He saved us to be a community so we can be an example to reach the lost. Because you can't do that by yourself. It's so much to it. We just have to think about what church hurt really means. And sometimes we have to understand. I want to read this real quick, and I'm going to come back to you because I want to shift gears a little bit, and because I want to touch on some solutions while we got this time in this conversation. Amen? But I want to use this that I'm using as the premise for what we're talking about. To love someone is to speak his best. I can love someone without even liking him. I can find someone frustrating but still genuinely and truly want the best for them. Love does not mean avoiding tough conversations or life-on-life accountability, but doing those sorts of things from a loving, humble, gracious, and patient position, which is from a mind and heart like Christ. So that's what we have to focus on there. If Jesus said that we could tell his disciples by how they love one another, and so we, who are loved by him, love each other in turn, even through the darkest and most difficult days. That's the church. That's why we come together.
Amen.
But when stuff ain't going right, because people want to come to church and want the church to be on board or doing all this, but when But when the dark days come, we want to bolt. And I always say we got to look at the letters that Paul wrote and the letters that Peter wrote and read all of those letters and get that he was encouraging the church and correcting the churches. He wrote to the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Thessalonians, and the Corinthians. And the Corinthian church, a lot of y'all go to churches that's like the Corinthian church. He had to write them two letters. And so, and history tells us he wrote them three letters because they was jacked up. But if we, that's why we have to study. You have to study the Word of God and tell them, see what these men, what the apostles were writing to these churches to encourage them and correct them. Because, you know, they didn't, it's not, again, the first century church, second century church, it wasn't like we have now. People just want to, they can go church, what do they call it, church hopping, and go here, there, and everywhere. That's not how it was. It was one church, it was one group of believers, and they had to learn to live together. And that maturity, learning to live together, is a level of maturity. Because if you run, trust me, people who run from church to church, they run from this and that in their regular life too. Jobs, relationships, I'm just saying. It's a pattern. Mm-hmm. It's not new just to them. It didn't start with the church. They've been doing that for a while. So they think it's okay. But that, again, that's another conversation for, you know, that's another band of discussion on why you hopping from this one to that one, because you can't stand still, because you can't put up with nothing. If it ain't going your way, you out. I'm just saying, that's the attitude. You know, we talked about that a couple shows back, but anyway, amen. This is Christian Minister Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr, and we are here. Again, brothers, I encourage you, if you receive the link on your phone, to share the link, pass it on to those who you administer to that you're discipling, or just to be able to look at yourself, to measure, to see where you are in the faith. When we're talking about church, we're going to do some more episodes about this because there is a lot to it. We touched on a few things. We touched on it about, you know, what are we going to do, God's been leadership, their role in it, because these things happen when it comes to about when it's about community. But our thing as people of God, as men of God, how are we going to reconcile it, and where does forgiveness, patience, and perseverance come into? And like, you know, like Pastor Beth always says, he talks about long suffering. Nobody wants the long suffering in the spirit. And that's about people. It's about people. Are we going to long suffer until they reach a level of maturity that I ain't got to go, but I want to stay there, pray for them, let them see me persevere through the stuff they say or do. And then again, it's about having these conversations. I said it. It's about having these hard, uncomfortable conversations, life-on-life accountability. If someone's acting or nasty or doing things to people or saying things to people, you have to go to – there has to be a level of accountability with leadership that now they're going to deal with this stuff, and that it's not going to – it don't keep happening. See what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying, because that's where a lot of this comes from. Things are not being dealt with, and people are not – they don't respect their leaders enough to take their problems to the leader.
Amen.
Because any place else in this culture, anything else we do, there's a structure, there's an HR department or whatever you want to call it, that these things can be addressed. That your grievances can be addressed so that we can better live together and serve together and be examples and be salt and light. Because that's the ultimate goal. Will God get glory, be glorified in this? And can we see God in the people that we're in fellowship with and see how God's working through their lives? Because, again, I mean, the problem is no one – I'm going to say this, and I'm going to come back to you, brother. I've seen people grow, just like I say this about myself. I know people have known me and seen me grow in my faith. And once you see that, at least in one person, from where they were to where they are and where they're going,
amen,
you know that God can do it. But if you're always running, you always don't want to go to church. If you've never seen nobody mature in their faith. I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about adults. See, that's the other thing. Somehow we don't have enough patience for our peers. because to watch them grow in the faith. If you've never seen it, it's just like evangelism. If you ever shared the gospel with someone and seen their life get transformed and changed, because once you experience that and see what God does in people's lives, you'll be encouraged to continue to evangelize and share the gospel and pray with people and encourage people, because you've seen people's lives be converted. But if you never stand still long enough because you want things your way, you'll never be able to see that. And then God can't use you because you haven't hung around long enough. And then once you stop going to church, now you're not hanging around. You say you believe, but you're not hanging around with people who believe and think what you think. What do you say, sir? I'm sorry. I went too long. But, I mean, you just think you have to consider.
No, you're right. You're right.
What do you say? I'm gonna give it to you.
You're right about that, bro. You know, I think one of the things that, you know, and like you would say, to be solutionary, one of the things I think about is that, is your love for the people real? You know, and that's a self-examination thing. If my love for you is real, not only would I be able to receive something from you, but I can also, you know, kind of like have the patience to meet you where you are, you know, and not put an unreachable goal in your faith, in where you are in your season of faith, okay? So, for instance, I look at how we grow in grace and in faith is basically through my children. All of my children are not the same age. I don't have six twins, okay? I have children, I have six of them, and they're all different ages. They've all had their experiences with their dad at different ages, okay? So my expectation is I don't let my high school child fall in the category of my elementary school child, but I don't have the expectations of my elementary school child to understand the things that are in the high school child's grade, you know. So there are where we have to be in a position to understand where they are in their season. And see, so the Holy Spirit allows us to be able to minister to that person in where they are in their season right now of growth, okay? If a person is just born again, okay, and this is where I would say we talk about it a lot, especially you talk about milk to meat, okay? And there's a lot of milk out there right now. So really there's a lot of, I don't want to say it like this to be, I'm not saying this to say it in a negative way, but knowing that there's milk out there, they're babies, okay? So if I'm going to approach you, okay, and normally babies get hurt faster than an adult, okay? Everything can actually trigger a baby to be hurt, okay? If the smallest thing, like you said just now, if the smallest thing where that baby doesn't get their way, they're going to be upset and they may walk away from that fellowship, or they may stop singing on the choir now, you know, just from that one thing that triggered that baby, okay? And I think that's where the enemy gains ground, because that baby really is not really being nurtured in that fellowship. So the reaction, it can't be surprising to us, you know. The thing is that we need to make sure that as leaders and as, you know, people who are of the faith that's mature in faith, that we model the Christ that's on the inside of us through love, through the long suffering and patience, to try to meet that person where they are at that point in time, and then allow them to understand what took place, what's going on, so that you can, you know, I guess you could say, you know, that person can feel rejuvenated in their faith and encouraged to keep going instead of discouraged. And now they're going to shut down and they're not going to say anything because, you know, now they've been hurt to the point where it hinders their operation in the ministry and in the fellowship. Okay. So we have to be on, you know, we have to stay prayed up. We have to stay in the scripture and in God's word to make sure that, you know, we handle this thing like good stewards, okay, with his word and with, you know, what he put on the inside of us. Because I could tell you, man, in my early walk, I didn't experience what you call church hurt, but I had church frustration, you know, because I was studying the scriptures and I was looking at, you know, what was going on in the building called church or in the fellowship. And I was frustrated because what was in the scripture, they didn't model a lot of the stuff. It was just more so like routine and religious practices versus what the scripture says to do about it or to, you know, conduct yourself. And, you know, trying to line those two things up was just frustrating to me, and I didn't know where I fit in. So if someone would have nurtured me, maybe I would have still stayed at that fellowship, because then I would have had the understanding of this, you know, the circumstances and the things that were going on around me, and I wouldn't have been frustrated with that. So the one thing we need to do as a solution is to self-reflect. We need to make sure that, you know, we do this thing, like you said, with patience and long-suffering, to make sure that we're doing it according to the will of God. And then, you know, for the person who is hurt, okay, to stay the course, all right? Those are growing pains. Now, a lot of things happen to strengthen you and not to hurt you, okay? No matter how you look at it, you're in this walk with Christ. You're not in this walk just with the people around you in the fellowship. You're in this walk with Christ. And because you are with Christ, you will be tested by the enemy at all angles. And it'll be the people that are closer to you or the people that you don't think will hurt you by what they say or what they do. Most of the time, that's in fellowships or in the body of Christ. And how you deal with it is based on how your relationship with Jesus Christ is going to grow from this point. So I always tell that person to stay encouraged and stay in the word of God and always stay humble and always be willing to be patient, because sometimes the person committing the act to you, to that person, or, you know, who is a new born again or church goer, a lot of time if your reaction is something that they should be doing, you just minister to that person that did something to you, you know, so you just never know how God is going to use you to, so that he's glorified through the situation. And we always want to make sure we keep that in mind. Christ is the ultimate, you know, goal here. It's not us of ourselves. We're not doing this thing without Christ. So whenever we approach conflict or whenever we approach these things as far as church hurt and everything, we want to make sure that everything that we do, all that we do to the glory of God. And that's it. If God is not going to be glorified in this situation, we might as well just pack everything up and go somewhere else.
Amen.
Because we can't say that we're in this thing and we're in the body of Christ and we're in the fellowship and it's supposed to be Christ as the head and we don't do things to glorify him. So I always say that we need to reflect on that first, and then we go from there. How about that, bro?
Amen, brother. You're correct, and I like what you said. You know, I want to share a couple of things, brothers. This is a quick commercial announcement. This year, 2024, in June, we are putting together a men's conference for the weekend of Father's Day. I'm going to put that out right now.
Amen.
Details are coming. We got meetings laid out. We got plans. We're going to do the Father's Day weekend. It's going to be a Friday or Saturday, and then Father's Day Sunday afternoon, we're doing a picnic outdoor, and we're going to invite you to come. We get the details together, and we're going to have a Saturday event, Saturday gathering. We're going to be having some discussion topics, some interactions and discussions. to encourage fathers. And brothers, let me say this to you. For some of the brothers, you know, you've been in church a long time. The Father's Day thing, we are not crucifying fathers. We are going to celebrate men in their role as a father. I'm saying, I'm going to tell you, trust me, those who know me, we're going to celebrate fatherhood. We're going to be focusing on to encourage. We're going to talk to young men about what's going to be, what their expectation for them to be fathers. Okay, they're on that path, you know. We all, look around us. That brother got six. I got three, seven grandkids. When I was 12 and 13, I didn't think about, I have all this responsibility. And I used to tell people, and I told people, I said it one time in the men's group, if I knew how hard it is to be a father and a husband, I would have not done did it. You see what I'm saying? But because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God and getting some brothers and getting the men of God around me to encourage me and strengthen me and disciple me, here I am. Amen? Amen. And as for the church hurt, I have a couple of things I want to give you again, the solutions. Then I'm going to come to you, brother. You're going to close us out with prayer and give you the closing comments.
Amen.
Each of us is going to have to check and develop a proper heart attitude. You, the brother mentioned it, the deacon mentioned it. It's about meekness, humility, forgiving, and patience. Meekness. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Humble, humility, James 4 and 10. Forgiveness, Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. Patient, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And then this is these next two, I want you to get these down. I'm going to need you to open your word of God and go deep and study. Evaluating your part in the conflict and the things that's going on, make sure you evaluate your part in the conflict. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And then the scripture that solves all of this, I encourage you, Matthew 18. Read Matthew 18. The process on how we deal with these conflicts to get to a place where God is glorified, people are encouraged, people are restored, and we can get back into doing the work that God has called this church to do, to be salt, to be light, to be discipling the nations, sharing the gospels, calling those into the faith, because we talk about it a lot because of what's going on, but Christ is coming, and how many people are going to be left here because we didn't do what the church should have been doing? We are not reaching folk. We're not discipling folk. We're not telling the people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, what they must do to be saved, why they must be saved, and knowing that hell is real. So these are the things that we're called to do. In all that we do, that we are ministering the truth and planting the seeds of the gospel in the hearts and minds of people. So, again, we have to develop a proper heart attitude, evaluate our role in these conflicts, and again, define the solution. Matthew 18. Read Matthew 18. And then if we start living this out, living the word, applying the word, and listening to the Holy Spirit living within us, we can overcome and we can heal from these things that people call church hurt. What church hurt really is us just learning how to live together, learning how to live this life, walk this faith on this earth, again, that the church would start to be Christ-like and be an example to the lost, that they might be compelled and be drawn into the faith, unto salvation, because the wrath of God is coming. Amen? Brother, I thank you and appreciate you, man, for being on here and taking your time and sharing your insight and your wisdom. I'm going to give you a final word, and if you would, you can close us out in prayer. Amen?
Amen. Amen. You know, to God be the glory of everything that we do. Thank you, bro, for having me on. Always love the opportunity to share what God would have us to do so that God is glorified in our lives. I just encourage the brothers to do this, you know. Understand that, you know, we're not perfect people. It's going to take Christ for us to resolve things. And don't give up. Just because something happens doesn't mean that you should be looking for another place to fellowship. Make sure that anything that we do, that God is you know, the first and the head of our lives before we make a move. Make sure that we resolve everything in peace so that God is glorified out of our lives. That's the thing, you know. Like Beek was saying, the wrath of God is coming. And where we are in the situation, we have to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith or not the faith. And so I pray everyone that listens to this, get that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever things that are going on or things that happened in the past, make peace with it. It's never too late to make peace with things that has already happened, okay? Just make sure that you got it by the Holy Spirit to make those opportunities known. When they're known, we can deal with those things the way that God would have us to do so. Amen? Amen. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for life itself. Father, we thank you for the things that you protect us from, seen and unseen, Lord. Father, help us, Father. Help us in the areas that we are weak. Father, help us to resolve conflict. And not only the conflicts that come upon us, but even the ones that we may cause. Father, even in marriages and in the different relationships, people are still hurting, Father. Father, so we ask right now, Father, we're interceding for those couples, those relationships, Father, those houses of fellowship, Lord God. Father, we stand in the gap now, and we ask you, Father, to move on their behalf, Father. Straighten and strengthen those people, Father. Father, we thank you for hearing and answering prayer. Father, you said in your word that if it's anything that we ask according to your will, that you will do it, that we're standing on our confidence and faith. So we thank you and we praise you for tonight, Father. I thank you for my brother, Deacon Clark. I thank you, Father, for your hedge of protection and the ministry that you've given him, Father, to be able to speak to the men, Father, and minister to men, Lord God. So we thank you for the opportunity, Father. We thank you for using us as your vessels, Father. Father, you be glorified out of everything that we say, either word or deed, Father, you be glorified. And we thank you and we praise you right now. We pray that everything that was said touched someone, Father, to make a move to reconcile, Father, the people who have been hurt. So we thank you and we praise you right now in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
Bless you, brother. Love you.
This is the